I don't need to tell you, because you know from your own personal experience that our life sometimes is filled with trouble. The Bible says that's the way it's going to be. In John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, wisest man that ever lived, Solomon wrote this about man's days. He says, "For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief." And many in our church family, if you go back, some can say it right now based on what they're going through right now, but some can go back just a couple of years and think about a time in life that their life was full of sorrows, their life was full of trials, their life was full of heartaches. We've lost loved ones. We fought incurable, at least from the man's eyes, we fought incurable diseases. We've watched as relationships that should not have broke. We've suffered heartaches with children. And we've had many of our families suffer financial hardships in the past few years. And I could go on. I mean, I could get specific, but I don't need to, because all of you at some point in time, if you're not going through it right now, all of you have passed through that valley of trials that David talks about, that valley of heartaches. And like Teresa saying a moment ago, I praise God that when we go through those valleys, we don't have to go through them by ourselves. I praise God that He never leaves us or forsakes us. And He helps us get through those times. And one of the things that He gives us to help us get through those times is the peace that we sang about in the song that Adam led us in right before the scripture reading, is the peace that Teresa implied in the song that she sang, the peace that God gives us that we read about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ," or through Christ Jesus. We sing that little chorus in Sunday school sometimes. I've got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And the world sometimes look at Christians as they're going through things and they say, I don't understand how you can be so peaceful or be so calm or be so serene in this time of trouble. I just don't understand how it just looks like everything's okay. And when I know it's not okay, how can you have this this sense of peace that you have? And it's hard for Christians to explain it, because it's hard for the world to understand it. It's hard for somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior to understand what we say when we have the peace that passeth understanding. That peace comes from God. And this morning, I don't want you to confuse peace with God with the peace of God. In fact, I want to speak about both of them this morning. I want to remind you of the peace that we can have with God. And then in the second part of my message, I want to talk about the peace that we have of God that He gives to us that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So let me illustrate for a minute. Brother Harry, would you come just and stand right here in front of the table? And Leonard, would you come? And Sam, would you come? And Harry, you just sort of stand this way. And Leonard, you stand this way facing each other. Facing each other. And Sam, you come and sort of stand looking that way right between them. All right? So Harry, you and Leonard move forward. Okay? We're going to let Leonard represent God this morning. Harry represents man. Shake hands. We were made to... No, just hold them there in that shake for a minute. We were made to fellowship with God. I mean, that's why God created us. He wanted to be our friend. And He wanted us to be with Him. That has not changed from the time that He created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Every single person that's born, and by the way, I don't believe there's any people born by accident. I believe it's all ordained by God. You are here this morning not because of an accident. You are here this morning because God wanted you born. He wanted you into this world. He wants you as His friend. He wants to fellowship with you. His desire is that you come to know Christ as your Savior and go to heaven and live with Him forever, so that you can fellowship for all eternity. And when God first made man, we were at fellowship with Him. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fellowshiped with Almighty God, their Creator. But then something happened, and that something that happened was a decision that we made as mankind. We sinned. We disobeyed God. And by the way, don't let somebody try to tell you that sin is a hard thing to understand. Sin is simple disobedience. If you have children, you know what sin is. It's when you as a mom or a dad say, hey, sit down at the table, and they get on their knees and stand up on their chair and disobey you. Right, Betty? That's disobedience. Did Judy do that? Okay. but that's what sin is. That's all right. I like it when you nod. That showed me you're with me. But that's what sin is. It's not something hard to understand. It is simple disobedience. God said to Adam, don't eat of the fruit. In the day that you do, you're going to die. Not physically, but you're going to die spiritually. You're going to be separated from me. So that's what happened. Sin came in. Man made a choice, and sin broke this relationship. Okay, let go of your hands. Sin broke this relationship. Man turned away from God. So here he turned around. Man turned away from God. And God, because he is a God of justice, because he is a God who cannot tolerate sin, had to turn away from man. So Leonard, you turn around too. And when God turned away from man, and man started it because man turned away from God first, that relationship that God wants with every one of us was broken. It was broken. And we were at war with God. We were at hostility. We were at hostility. I'm okay. I think. All right, I'm not going over there again. We had hostility with God. We were not at peace with God. And there was nothing that we could do to restore that relationship. We're turned away from us. God is turned away. We're turned away from God. God is turned away from us. He's a holy, righteous God. Can't tolerate sin. That's why he turned his back on Jesus Christ when Jesus hung on the cross. He cannot tolerate sin. A God of justice. And so the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word peace means the war is over. The word peace means that the relationship is restored. The conflict is ended. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And by the way, God did not wait till we got to this situation where we turned away from him and he had to turn away from us because of his justice to come up with this plan. He had this plan already in heaven. Before the foundation of the world, we sing the song at Calvary, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. It was drawn a long time before man sinned. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before we sinned, God had a plan to get us back. And that plan was a mediator. Somebody that would go between the two parties. Somebody that would work out the dispute between the two parties. So Sam, go over there and stand in front of Leonard for just a minute. So Sam represents our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes to God and says, God, if I go to the cross and I die on the cross and I suffer man's sin debt for him, if I suffer death, that's the wages of sin, death, separation, if I suffer that for him, will that satisfy your justice? Will that satisfy what you require of man? And God says, yes, that would satisfy me. And so Jesus then, Sam, go over and stand in front of Harry. Jesus comes to man. This is what a mediator does. He goes between the two parties. He's got God's agreement. If I go to the cross, if I pay for the sin, will that satisfy your justice? God said yes. And so Jesus goes to man and says, look, God says that if I go to the cross and I die in your place, that will satisfy him. Will you take me? Will you let me do that? And Jesus came back into the middle now, Sam, if you would. Jesus went to the cross. And when he went to the cross, the Bible says that God put all of our sins on him. And when he died on Calvary, every single one of my sins and every single one of your sins was placed on him, and he paid the price for those sins. And in God's sight, those sins are paid for. So Leonard turned back around. And so God turns back around. He says, okay, my justice has been satisfied. The requirements have been met. The price of sin has been paid. The only thing that has to be done is for man to accept that payment, is for man to take that payment for himself. Brother Clint, I need you to help me just for a second. You come up and stand in front of Harry. You're going to be the Holy Spirit. And so here's what God does. He sends the Holy Spirit to the sinner. And the Holy Spirit says this, hey, sinner, you need what Jesus did for you. There ain't no other way to get, you don't use ain't, but there's no other way to get to heaven. There, and I'll just, there ain't no other way to get to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to get your sins forgiven. I mean, you can go out and do a bunch of good things, and you can join the church, and you can get baptized, and all those are good things. But that won't get you right with God. The only way to get peace with God, and this is what the Holy Spirit says to every person that doesn't know Christ, is to turn around and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so, Harry, you're going to get saved. I know you're already saved, but you're going to get saved again. Turn around. And with the Holy Spirit's help, he receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Harry and God, stick out your hand. That relationship is restored. That war is over. And man has peace with God. Amen. All right. Thank you, men. Thank you. You can be seated. So that's how we get peace with God. We come by the way of Jesus Christ. No other way. You don't get peace with God any other way but that by coming through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And I hope this morning that every single person in this room knows what I'm talking about and that you have peace with God. If you're saved this morning, you have peace with God. But here's my message. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't stop just, I mean, you need to get there. And don't stop before you get there. Make sure you get there and you have peace with God. In fact, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would beg you don't walk out these doors when we get done in about 10 minutes without knowing for sure that you're saved. Without knowing for sure that you have peace with God. The Bible says that we can know that. In 1 John it says, for these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you can have peace with God. And I wish I could tell you that when you get peace with God, that all your troubles are over. I wish I could tell you, I ain't going to have any more problems. You're a child of God. You're a member of the royal family. You're on your, and you are on your way to heaven. And I wish I could tell you, no more sickness, no more loss, no more problems. Everything is going to be peachy king in your life. But that's not the way it works. And that's where the peace of God comes in. And this morning, I want to make just 3 points about the peace of God. Number one, what is the peace of God? Number one, it's a gift from God. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift. In John chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John chapter 14 was where Jesus was talking to his disciples about going back to heaven. You know the first part of that chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go up and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you know it was in that first part of the chapter that Philip says, oh, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so he was saying, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to prepare heaven for you. But he says in that same chapter, I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to leave you my peace. Not the kind of peace that the world offers. Because the kind of peace that God gives is completely different. He says, I am going to give you my peace. And so the peace of God is a gift from him. Number two, what does the peace of God do? We read about it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The heart is the center or seat of our emotions. The mind is the center of my thoughts, the things that I think. So the peace of God keeps my emotions and my thinking. That's what that verse says. And the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And so the peace of God that God gives me, that's a gift of God, what it does is keeps my heart and keeps my mind. It keeps my thoughts and it keeps my emotions. Okay, what does the word keep mean? The word keep is a military term. It talks about when a city was under siege, the king would set up his soldiers around the wall of that city to keep it. Those soldiers had two purposes. Number one, they were not to let the enemy in. Back in Bible days, the cities were walls, and they didn't have cannons and stuff like that to knock the walls down. So what the enemy forces would do is would surround the city, and they would just starve the city out. Nobody could come out. Nobody could go in. And again, the king that was inside the city would put his soldiers on the inside of that wall, some up on the top of it, but on around that wall, so nobody could get in and nobody could get out. You see, sometimes when your city was besieged, you got scared and your emotions took over. And if the guard wasn't there to keep you in, you would run out of the city and do something stupid. And something bad would happen to you. Usually you'd get killed. They didn't take prisoners. They didn't take people that surrendered. And so the king, again, would keep the city by putting his soldiers around it, not only to keep the enemy out, but to keep his people in. And so when the Bible says that the peace of God keeps our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus, here's the picture that is painting. Sometimes in our life, we get surrounded with trouble. And again, that trouble comes in different forms for different people at different stages of life. We lose a loved one. We go down into the valley of despair. We're troubled. The peace of God keeps us. It keeps Satan from getting in when we're weak. Because that's what Satan looks for, the opportunity when we're in that valley. Satan looks for the opportunity when things are going wrong. You say, well, can't God keep things from going wrong? Yes, he can. But he lets things come into our life to make us stronger. And when those things come into our life and when we're weak, he keeps us from Satan getting in to tempt us to lose our faith. Satan comes in when we're weak at times. He says, see, God doesn't really love you. If he really loved you, he wouldn't let this happen to you. If he really loved you, he would have not let this come into your life. He could have prevented it. He's God. He's all powerful. Why would you trust and love a God like that for letting this come into your life? And the peace of God, which keeps our hearts and our minds, says, don't listen to the devil. He doesn't know what he's talking about. God loves you. He proved that when he gave Jesus to die in your place on Calvary. He's let this come into your life to make you stronger, to make you more fit for heaven. I don't understand it now. How many times have I stood beside you at times and told you, when you asked me why, I said, I don't know. I know God loves you. I know God has a purpose for it. I know he's going to work it out for good, but I can't explain why. I'm not God. But I know this, he loves you.
And Satan comes at those times and he tries to get us to think that God doesn't love us, that God is unfair, that God doesn't know what he's doing. And the peace of God, which keeps us, which keeps Satan from getting in, says, oh no, God loves you. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't send anything into your life that he's not there with you to go through it. And he keeps us. He also keeps us from getting out. Sometimes when trouble comes, what do we want to do? We want to quit. We want to just say, it's not worth it. I'm just going to go out and do whatever I want to do. I've tried to live this straight, narrow way life, and look at what it's got me. Look at what it's cost. And if we're not careful in times of trouble, we'll want to escape and leave. And the peace of God, which keeps us, keeps the enemy out and keeps us inside, keeps us from going and doing something stupid. Keeps us from forgetting what kind of God that we got, and keeps us from forgetting that he loves us. And regardless of what comes into our life, listen to me, regardless of what comes into our life, it's a sign that God loves us. You think God would let anything into our life that's not for our good? You think he just at times God decides he's going to be mean and say, hey, I'm just going to get him? That's not God. You've missed the point when it comes to God, if that's the way you think he works. That at times he just says, hey, I don't feel very well today. I'm going to get them. I'm going to send that into their life just to be mean. That's not the way God works. Everything that comes into our life has a purpose. He's trying to work out a plan. You say, I don't understand the plan. Join the club. I don't either. David didn't understand the plan. Moses didn't understand the plan. Abraham didn't understand the plan. Paul didn't understand the plan. Your preacher doesn't understand the plan. But I know God. And I know that he loves each one of us more than we can comprehend, more than we can understand. And that love will never let anything into our life unless it's for our good. And the peace of God says, that's the kind of God you have. And so it not only keeps Satan from getting in, it keeps us from getting out and doing something stupid. So what's the peace of God? It's the gift of God. What does it do? It keeps our hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. How do you get it? Number three, and this is my last point. How do you get it? You take it. You take it. The phrase peace of God is only used twice in the Bible. It's used in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where we've been talking about what it does. And then it's used in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, where the Bible says, And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What that verse is saying is, we make a choice. I'm going to let or choose the peace of God and let it rule. In other words, be the boss, be the king, be in charge in my heart. The peace of God, which keeps our minds and our hearts, our thinking and our emotions, I'm going to let that be the rule in my life. When we got saved, as Brother Clint represented a moment ago, we get the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit. When Harry got saved, I know he's been saved a long time, but in our illustration a moment ago, when Harry got saved, part of God moved in and took up residence in him, the Holy Spirit. Every single person that gets saved, the Holy Spirit moves in and takes up residence in you. Now, we mature as a Christian and we grow as a Christian as we let the Holy Spirit control more and more
of us. See, he just doesn't move in and take over. He moves in, and then we yield to him. Sometimes we yield a lot. Sometimes we yield a little. Sometimes we yield quickly. Sometimes he has to beat us on the head a little bit to get us to yield to him. But as we grow as a Christian by yielding more and more to the Holy Spirit. In the book of Galatians, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And it talks about the different fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, peace. Peace. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. It's like we get saved, and God puts a tree in front of us, and on that tree is different fruits. Here's some love. Here's some long-suffering, some patience. Here's some joy. Here's some gentleness. Here's some peace. And what the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit says, there it is, just take it. So we can reach out and we can pick love. We can pick long-suffering. We can pick joy. We can pick peace. And that's how you get the peace of God. You choose to take it. You choose to pick it from the fruits of the Spirit. And you let it rule. Let it be the king. Let it be the boss in your heart. And when you do that and have the peace of God, what that peace of God will do is keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. How do these people that have cancer, that go to the doctor and take different treatments, and they have to keep going back and going back and going back, how do they come in and testify how good God is? Because they have the peace of God. Barb came in this morning smiling. She was yelling at me. She said, "You're going to get hurt. Sit down." I know she's still hurting. How can she smile? Because she has the peace of God. Betty, one cripple to another. I know she's still hurting. I know it's an inconvenience when you can't use your hand, when you can't use your foot. How can she still smile? She has the peace of God. How can we go through? Look, I could go up and down the aisles. I know enough about you that I can go up and down the aisles, and I could ask the questions. I won't, because everybody doesn't know what I know. I can ask the question. I can just look up and down the aisles. I can ask the question, how do you do it? How do you come to church with a smile on your face? I know what's going on. How do you do it? And the answer is all the same. It's the peace of God that keeps our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Do you have it this morning? I'll tell you, first of all, you can't get it unless you have peace with God. And the only way you get peace with God is to admit that you're a sinner and come to Jesus Christ and take him as your Savior. And if you're here today and you've never done that, you need to do it right now. You need to make peace with God. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. But then don't stop there. Once you get saved, take the peace of God that keeps your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I was talking to a lady in our church this week, Friday afternoon. She wanted me to come and see her, but I couldn't. And we talked on the phone. And she says, "I'm just surrounded, preacher. I'm surrounded. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just surrounded." And I told her, I said, "Look, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I told her that story of Elijah when he was surrounded by the men that wanted to come and arrest him. And his servant, they got up early that morning, and his servant came out and said, "Master, we're surrounded and we have no hope. The enemy's all around us." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes so that he can see." And between the enemy and them was a circle of angels. Fiery angels and fiery chariots that was protecting them. And I told her, from Psalm 34, we are surrounded by angels. You can only see the enemy. I want you to know that God's got you surrounded by angels. And they ain't going to get through. They ain't going to get through. Tell you the same thing this morning. Got a God that loves us. And even though it looks like sometimes the world has us surrounded with troubles, our God is greater than the troubles. And He will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this blessed truth. Thank You that we can not only have peace with You,